Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So on Tuesday of this last week, we had our annual trunk or treat in the back parking lot. And so, man, it was a lot of fun. We had so many people from the community come out here. It was a great time for us to connect with one another. And I had several people come up to me just to say thank you for having this for our community each year, not only because it's something fun, but it's also a place, a safe place that they know that they can bring their kids to on Halloween. So let me just say thank you to our volunteers. We had people manning the bounce houses. We had people in the fellowship hall that were making sure that all of the bowls of candies were refilled. And then, of course, we had the people sitting out, passing out candy at all of the trunks that they worked so diligently to decorate. And let me just give a special thanks to those that decorated a trunk, because it literally would not be trunk or treat without you, right? And so, and where's Waldo? Yeah. And so we are thankful. And once again, we had a friendly competition between our decorated trunks. All of the people were given numbers with their trunks. And then families, children, parents would walk around and they would just, they would look and see what their favorite trunk was. And then they had a choice to make. Which one am I going to choose? Which one am I going to vote for to be my favorite trunk? And so after they made their decision, then they would cast their vote. So we're in the middle of this series right now titled Choose, Which Will You Worship? And if you remember, the title of our series comes from Joshua 24:15. So before we go any further, let me just remind you of what this call in this verse is for us. It says, but if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today, which will you worship? The gods your fathers worship beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living? As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. Now at our trunk or treat on Wednesday night, we had about 12 trunks that were nicely lined up next to each other for the people to choose from. As Joshua is nearing the end of his life, he gathers all of the people of Israel together. And it's as if he lines these choices up before the people. And he makes it even easier than our trunk or treat, because he doesn't give 12 choices. He really gives 3 choices. You can choose to worship who or what your parents worship. You can choose to worship the false gods of this land, or you can choose to worship the one true God. And in this is really the call for them to turn from the false gods of their parents, to turn from the false gods of their land, and to know and to worship the one true God. And this call is still before us today. I want you to hear me this morning. The same choices that were lined up before the Israelites are still lined up before us now. We can choose to worship the gods that our parents worshipped. We can choose to worship the false gods of this land, or we can choose to worship the one true God. The same choices that were lined up before the Israelites are still lined up before us now. And so the choice is still yours. Choose, which will you worship? So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. We're going to look at just a few verses this morning, Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 through 26. Matthew 23, 23 through 26. Now, let me just remind you of where we are in this series. As we have been reminded that there are choices before us, right now we are looking at different false gods in our land, different false gods in our world today. I said this last week, but I'll say it again. We must recognize these false gods that we might turn from these false gods. That's my desire with this series, that we would recognize these false gods, that we might turn from these false gods, because my desire is just as Joshua desired, my desire is that we would know and worship the one true God. So if you remember last week, we talked about the false god of money. This morning, we're going to talk about another big false god in our land today, the false god of religion. And while this false god of religion is definitely present in our world today, it's not new to our world. This false god of religion has been around. We see it in Scripture. We see Jesus even addressing it when he walked the earth. So in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is in the temple. In fact, we see Jesus enter the temple back in Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. And in Matthew 21, we see the authority of Jesus being challenged by the elders and by the chief priests. Now, why did they want to challenge the authority of Jesus? Well, because Jesus' very presence challenged their authority. So in Matthew chapter 23, verse 2, at the start of the chapter that we're in today, we read that the scribes and the Pharisees are seated in the chair of Moses. So what is this chair of Moses? Well, in the temple, there was a literal stone seat that the scribes and the Pharisees would sit on to teach. Picture on a Sunday morning coming in here, and we didn't have any pews for you to sit on, just standing room. You'd come in, you'd stand, but then there would be a seat up here for me to sit on and to teach. This is very much the picture of what we have in the temple, people coming in to stand, to listen to the teacher that was seated on this stone seat. So in that sense, there is this chair of Moses that they are seated on, but really there's more of this figurative chair that they're seated on, because Moses, he spoke, he led with authority, he spoke into the lives of the people of Israel with authority, and so there's this implication that the scribes and the Pharisees, that they had the ability to speak and the authority to speak into the lives of the people of Israel as well. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they liked this authority. They liked this voice that they had in the lives of the people. And so when Jesus comes in to speak with authority, it was a challenge to their authority. It was a challenge to their religion. But I want you to understand, Jesus didn't come to create more religion. Jesus came to provide relationship. Let me say that again. Jesus didn't come to create more religion. Jesus came to provide relationship. You see, mankind has no difficulty creating religion. We have no difficulty getting into these religious ruts where we find ourselves going through this motion and that motion in the hopes that somehow we will justify ourselves before God. But what Jesus came to show us was that religious works and religious practices aren't what we truly need. Man, we can love our religion sometimes. We can love going to church and singing the songs. But if we fall more in love with the religious motions, if we fall more in love with going to church than we are in love with Jesus, then we are missing the point and we are probably worshiping this false god of religion. And so Jesus comes in to show us that religious works, religious practices aren't what we truly need. What we need is a relationship with God Himself. And Jesus says, I'm the way to have that. I'm the way to have that relationship with the Father. So Jesus didn't come to create more religion. He came to provide relationship. But the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't like that. They liked their religion. They liked their voice of authority that they had in the lives of the people. But this is what Jesus says they're doing with their authority, what they're doing with their voice in the lives of the people. In verse 4, Jesus said, they tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry and put them on people's shoulders. Listen, that's what religion does for us. It simply leaves us under the weight of our burdens. In fact, it puts more burdens on top of us. But I want you to hear me. While religion burdens us, Jesus sets us free. While religion burdens us, Jesus sets us free. So the year before we moved here to Stockdale, my daughter Emily, she was in seventh grade, and the junior high that she was attending was across the street from the neighborhood that we lived in. So for the first time ever, we were letting her walk home from school after school. And since this was the first time we were letting her walk home from school, I would walk out to the end of the block and stand on the corner so that I could watch to make sure that she was walking home with no issues. But just like our schools in Stockdale, she didn't have any lockers at her school, and so she was forced to carry her backpack all day long with all of her books everywhere she went. And so as I would watch her walking up the sidewalk towards me, as she would get closer to me, I would walk out towards her, and I'd say, "Give me your bag, I will carry it for you." And as she would hand me that bag, there would be this sense of relief that would come over her face as she was no longer burdened by this heavy bag of books. This burden was finally lifted from her. I'm reminded of Jesus' words earlier on in Matthew. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You see, the Pharisees were putting all of this weight onto the people. They were adding all of this extra load with their religion, saying, "You need to do this, you need to do that to be in right standing before God." But it was a burden too great for them to bear. But Jesus came along and said, "Come to me. Hand your burdens over to me, and I will carry them for you." In fact, when Jesus went to the cross, he bore all of our burdens upon himself. He bore all of our guilt, all of our shame. All of this stuff that's weighted upon us, he bore that upon himself. Religion didn't do that for us. Jesus did that for us so that we could be set free. So let me say it again. While religion burdens us, Jesus sets us free. So would you be set free by Jesus today? So Jesus is teaching in the temple, and he's really addressing the crowds and the disciples, but he still continues to challenge the authority of the scribes and the Pharisees. And really what he's doing ultimately is he is challenging this false god of religion. So with that in mind, let's read now these verses. Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 through 26. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin, and yet you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These things should have been done without neglecting the others. Blind guide, you strain out a gnat, but gulp down a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside of it may also become clean." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by looking at the word that we see Jesus use to describe the scribes and the Pharisees. We see this throughout chapter 23. Jesus says it multiple times. We see it in verse 23 and again in verse 25. Jesus calls the scribes and the Pharisees, he uses that word hypocrite. So our English word for hypocrite, it actually comes from the Greek word for actor. In fact, it was two compound words that translated to an interpreter from underneath. Now that may not make a lot of sense to us, but it makes a little bit more sense when we know that actors in that day wore masks. And so what Jesus was saying about these scribes and the Pharisees is that how they presented themselves to the people, how they presented themselves in the temple was not real. They were acting, putting on a show, and their real identity was hidden underneath a mask. So I was probably in the fourth or fifth grade the last time that I went trick-or-treating. To be honest, my family at that time, we really didn't participate in trick-or-treating. But my sister and I, we had some good friends that asked us pretty last minute on Halloween to go trick-or-treating with them. And so since it was so last minute, my parents didn't have the opportunity to buy costumes for us, so we really had to just come up with costumes on our own, create some makeshift costumes. So my sister, she very cleverly decided to be a cowgirl, a fairly easy costume to put together. I, on the other hand, wanted to be a clown, which was pretty difficult considering I didn't have a clown costume or clown makeup. Thankfully, this was the early 90s, so my mom had some pretty colorful clothes in her closet. So I put on some turquoise pants of my mom and a brightly colored shirt. I had to put a belt around my waist, pull it real tight to hold it all up because it was too big for me. Paired that with a pair of orange rain boots. Now all I needed was clown makeup, which we didn't have, so I used my mom's base, which if you know anything about makeup, which I don't, but if you know anything about makeup, it's not white clown makeup, it is flesh-toned, right? So I put this base all over my face. Now all I need is a giant smile. So I take my mom's lipstick and I draw this giant smile on my face. Look in the mirror, looks good enough for me, let's go get some candy. So we go out trick-or-treating, we pull up to the first house, knock on the door, a little old lady comes and answers the door, and she immediately comments on what great costumes my sister and our friends were wearing. And then she asked me, well, what are you supposed to be? To which I told her I was a clown, and she replied, well, you're the ugliest clown that I've ever seen in my entire life. Now, I'm not saying that that's the best thing to say to a child, but she was just being brutally honest with me. As Jesus talks about the scribes and the Pharisees, he is being brutally honest. He's saying they're wearing costumes, and while their costumes may have looked good to the onlookers, unlike my costume, while their costumes may have looked good, he's saying underneath their costume, underneath the mask, they're ugly. As we think about this false god of religion, understand religion tells us to put on a mask. Religion tells us to hide our sins. Religion tells us to pretend like we look good, to go through all of this religious motion so that we will look good to others. But if we're just worshiping this false god of religion, then we still look ugly on the inside. But Jesus says, come to me. Take the mask off. Come to me with how you really are. Yes, maybe you look ugly. But the beautiful thing about Jesus is that when we come to him with the ugly, when we come to him with how we really are, he doesn't leave us ugly. Because when we bring all of the messy to Jesus, when we take our mask off, when we just get real with Jesus, we confess our sins to him, we turn all of that over to him, he takes the ugly and he makes us beautiful. Religion does not do that for us. And so if you're here today and you would say you're wearing a mask, if you're here today and you're saying, man, you're just putting on a face, let me say this, it's time to take the mask off. It's time to stop just playing games of religion. It's time to stop pretending like we've got it all together. It's time to get real, to come to Jesus with who we really are, to take the mask off so that we wouldn't simply be hidden, but in coming to Jesus that we would be made new. It's time to take the mask off. So Jesus, he calls the scribes and the Pharisees. He calls these people that are wrapped up with this false god of religion. He calls them a bunch of hypocrites. Because they're worshiping this false god of religion. And so as we think about this false god of religion, there's a couple of truths that I want you to walk away with today. That you might recognize this false god. That you might turn from this false god. So the first truth I want you to see today is that the false god of religion leaves us guilty. Let's look at the first part of verse 23 again. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin, and yet you have neglected the more important matters of the law. The false god of religion leaves us guilty. So we see that word tenth there. Jesus is talking about the tithe. So if you look at our bulletins on Sunday mornings, you'll see that we have in our order of service a time to worship God through our tithes and our offerings. That word tithe literally translates to tenth. We see that God establishes the tithe really from the beginning. The tithe is an opportunity for us to recognize all of the blessings that God has given us, all of the blessings that God has poured out into our lives, and to give a portion of that, a portion of our first fruits, a tenth of our first fruits back to him. And we believe that God has still called us to bring the tithe into the storehouse. This is why we still practice this even today. But what Jesus is saying is that the scribes and the Pharisees, they were faithful in giving their tithe. They were faithful in giving a tenth back to the Lord. But they really were not faithful to walk in obedience to any other area of the law. What Jesus was pointing out to them was that while they were giving their tithe faithfully, they were still guilty. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they saw their faithful giving as a way to pay for their disobedience. They saw their faithful giving as a way to get out of walking in obedience to the Lord, as a way to say, I know I'm not doing this, this, or this, God, but look at how much I gave to you. Look at how much I put into the offering plate, God. And so they would give faithfully their tithe, but they would neglect everything else in the law. They saw it as a way to pay God off, to somehow maybe purchase their right standing before God. But I want you to hear me. We can't purchase right standing with God. We can't purchase right standing with God. Do I believe that we're still called to give our tithes and offerings? Absolutely. Do I believe that we're called to walk in obedience to the Lord? Absolutely, I do. But if we believe that we can give our tithes and our offerings to the Lord and not truly submit to Him as Lord over our life, if we believe that we can give our tithes and our offerings to the Lord and yet not walk in obedience to Him in any other area of our life to somehow pay God off, then we are believing a lie and we are worshiping no more than this false god of religion, because we can't purchase right standing with God. There's no amount of money, nothing that we can do to somehow gain that right standing with God on our own. But I want you to hear some good news this morning. Jesus purchased that right standing for us. When Jesus went to the cross, when those nails were driven into Jesus' hands and feet, when that crown of thorns was shoved down onto His head, all of that was to purchase our forgiveness. All of that was to purchase our redemption. All of that was to purchase our right standing with God. Jesus purchased that right standing for us. You see, this false god of religion, it'll have us doing this. It's going to have us doing a lot of different things to gain our right standing with God. And we may even like all of those things that we are doing and how those things make us look to others. But until we truly surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord, we are still guilty. Religion cannot set us free. Jesus gives us that right standing because He purchased it for us. So this false god of religion, it leaves us guilty. Jesus sets us free. Second truth I want you to see is that the false god of religion leaves us dirty. Let's read verse 25 again. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." The false god of religion leaves us dirty. So several years ago when I was working in the business world, I had a nice insulated coffee cup with a lid on it, kind of like a Yeti, but this was before Yeti's time. And in our office, we had a coffee dispenser. We could get flavored coffee. So one Friday, I got a French vanilla cappuccino in my cup, filled that up, sipped on it throughout the day, maybe even went back and got a refill or two. But as the day ended, I forgot to empty the remaining coffee out of my cup and wash that cup. And so I left that cup sitting on my desk all weekend long with the lid on it. I come into the office on Monday morning. I forgot that I had left that in the cup all weekend. I come into the office. I see my cup sitting on my desk. It looks like a nice cup on the outside. It looks like a good cup to put coffee in. But when I took the lid off, the foulest odor came out. That coffee had spoiled. It had become rancid. In fact, that cup was so tainted by that smell. It didn't matter how many times I washed that cup, which I did numerous times over many weeks, that smell would not go away, to the point I finally just threw that cup away. You see, when the inside of the cup is dirty, the whole cup is dirty. When the inside of the cup is dirty, every single part of that cup is dirty. And so Jesus compares the Pharisees to a dirty cup. He says, with all of your religion, you've made yourself look good on the outside, but on the inside, you've spoiled. On the inside, you're rancid. On the inside, you are still unclean. This is what the false god of religion does for us. It cleans the outside. It makes the outside look good. But on the inside, we are still left unclean. The false god of religion cannot clean us the way we truly need to be cleaned. We need something to come along that can clean us, not just on the outside, but on the inside as well. We need someone that can come along to clean us, not just on the outside, but on the inside as well. And this is what Jesus did for us. And so I want you to hear me. While religion cleans the outside, Jesus cleans the inside. While religion cleans the outside, Jesus cleans the inside, and when the inside is clean, the whole cup is clean. This is why Jesus, as Jesus was about to wash the disciples' feet, Jesus says to Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Because nothing we can do for ourselves, no amount of religion can wash us and clean us the way that Jesus can. While religion cleans the outside, Jesus cleans the inside. And so as Peter understands what Jesus is saying, he responds to Jesus by saying, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. You see, when Peter understood that Jesus was the only one that could truly clean him, he said to me, Lord, then clean all of me. Don't just clean part of me, clean all of me. Clean me on the outside. Clean me on the inside. Lord, would you clean all of me? Religion cannot clean all of us. Religion will clean the outside, but Jesus will clean the inside. So as we get ready to close today, I just want to ask, have you been cleaned by Jesus? Not just on the inside, or not just on the outside, but have you been cleaned on the inside too? My pastor, when I was growing up, he would say it like this. You can modify your actions, your behaviors, but it's not going to change who you are on the inside. But if you let Jesus change your heart, it will always modify your actions. When Jesus cleans the inside, it cleans the outside as well. Have you been cleaned by Jesus today? Once again, we have these false gods lined up before us. False god of money, false god of religion. We have all of these false gods lined up before us. And then we have the one true God. We have Jesus Christ. And so the question that we have as we look at all of these false gods, what are we going to bow down to? What are we going to choose to worship? Are we going to worship the false gods of our parents? Are we going to worship the false gods of this land? Or are we going to worship the one true God? The choice is still yours today. Choose which will you worship. And if you've never chosen to worship the one true God by submitting to Jesus Christ, surrendering to Him as Lord over your life, then I want to invite you to make that decision this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. And if you're here today and you would say, I've never surrendered my life to Jesus as Lord. Man, I've been doing things on my own, or maybe I've been worshiping the false gods of this world. But today I'm ready to truly surrender to Jesus. And I would invite you to respond. Maybe you would say, you know what, if I'm honest, I've been worshiping this false god of religion. I've been doing this, this, and this, trying to make myself look good. But now I realize I need Jesus to clean me on the inside and the outside as well. Today, if you're ready to surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord, as we sing this song, I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to invite you to come. It doesn't have to feel awkward to you. We have people respond almost every week. It's pretty normal for people to respond. So if you want to come and respond this morning, to come and pray with me that you might surrender your life to Jesus as Lord, I would invite you to do that. Maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, Jesus is the Lord of my life, but I've never taken that next step of baptism. We don't believe that baptism saves us. We don't believe that baptism cleans us. We believe that Jesus does that. But we do believe that it's something God calls us to make our faith in Christ public through baptism. If you've never taken that step to make your faith public through baptism, I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you this morning. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know it's time to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers. If that's you, I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, that you might become members of this church this morning. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, would you respond to Him obediently? Stand with me right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.